presence, even when we're scatterbrained and unorganized. You are never scatterbrained, you are never unorganized, and even though your plans may look that way to us, they never are. We can trust you, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what our friends tell us, no matter what ourselves tell us, it's nothing. We need to lay it all down and trust that you are the Lord of all, and you're absolutely trustworthy.
Can you hear me?
No, not really. The mic's not on.
So we're not on?
We are on. Now you're on.
Now we're on. Okay, good.
You are totally on.
Okay. Well, last week, actually, not the last Sunday, but the Sunday before, really this kind of started where I was up and I gave Debbie's and my testimony. And last Thursday, we went into week two, which was why were we created? And we learned that originally we were created and we were connected. But then Adam sold out and we got disconnected. And now we found out what we had to do to get reconnected. Now we're going to find out who we are in Christ, our true identity. But it's very appropriate that we sang that song tonight about Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Because we're going to go back to the revelation. And guys, we need Bibles because we're going to be reading a lot of Bible scriptures tonight. Not just me. But everybody, okay? Because tonight I'm teaching like a cross-eyed discus thrower. I am going to set zero records, but I will keep the crowd alert. Okay? So, please. Yes, that would be great. So let's get some Bibles. And we'll get started. Who needs one? In the back. Okay. Is everybody in the book of the Revelation? It's the last book in the Bible. In chapter 12. Starting in verse 10. Okay? And since I'm a little hoarse, I'm not going to read in the loud voice. Okay, so please forgive me. But it starts out, it says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." That means believers, us. "They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time." And then verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Now, It says in verse 11, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which was shed by Jesus Christ, and the word of their testimony. That's our testimony. That's the testimony that Jesus Christ gives us about who He is in our lives, about what He's done in our lives. Okay? And I'm going to give you a quick testimony of something that happened this week. Now, how many of you were here Sunday? Okay? And remember when Darren prayed and he asked that the Lord would give us someone to struggle for in prayer? You remember that? Okay. How many of you actually believe that God is going to give you someone to struggle for?
Yes.
Let's see some hands. Because if you don't believe it, you need to. Because if you believe that He will do it, He will. If you believe He won't do it, He won't. So if you believe He will or you believe He won't, you're right. It's your attitude about, do I really believe that God will do something? Well, I believed it. And during the service, He gave me somebody to struggle for. And in the middle of the week, He gave me a scripture specifically for this person to show me how to pray for him, because that's where he is. But he didn't want me to pray alone. He gave me two other people that he wanted me to talk to about that so they could join me in prayer for this person. But then it got even better. Because yesterday, I'm sitting there talking with my wife, and she asked me a question about this individual, and she told me that the next time I saw him, I probably ought to ask him this particular question, because kept her awake at 2 in the morning. Now, God doesn't normally do that, but He did. See, God is number one in my life. Family is number two. And everything else comes after that. Okay? And she asked me if I thought that this person had God number one in his life. And I said, no. Because he doesn't. I said, and if he thinks he does, he's lying about it. So, he gave me two other people to pray with. I told my wife about it. He gave her something so that I could struggle with him for the Lord. Okay? Now, did anything else happen? Did anybody in the group here happen this week that could be interpreted as God speaking to them? Rebecca.
Second. Can you turn this thing on? Do I need this or not?
It's being recorded, so I guess we need that.
Okay. Check, check, check.
It's on.
It's on?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what day this was, but it was before Sunday, because I shared it on Sunday. So I was in a rush. I was going to work, and I was just walking from my car to my work, which is not very far. And I had this thought come into my head in my voice. It wasn't something I was thinking about, so it kind of took me off guard. I kind of stopped for a moment and thought about it. And it was about something I struggled with for a long time, about loving God, because, you come to church and everybody's like, oh, I love the Lord, and it sounds good, but if I don't feel anything towards the Lord, right? I feel things for people. I know when I love someone because I have feelings in my heart, and so towards God, I didn't have any feelings. I'm not sure why, maybe because it's not necessary, or maybe because my dad wasn't there for me. But anyhow, I always struggled with this, and people would tell me things, but it never kind of clicked. So this particular morning, what came to my mind was just like a sentence, like, you can love him for his attributes, which are what he is. That's why it sounds a little funny, but Kind of like when you describe someone that you love, you use, like, you don't say, oh, it's because they're thin and beautiful. You know, you're like, oh, they're so loyal. They're so kind. They're so funny. You know, you talk about their attributes. And it was like a revolutionary concept to me that I know I didn't figure out because I've been asking the same question for like 16 years so much that my friends are tired of hearing it. And my family too. And it came into me and it was like God knew how to say it in a way that I would understand. Because I do have people in my life that have amazing things about them, and when I describe them to someone, it just makes me happy just to say like how loyal they are and how honest and kind and self-sacrificing. And I realized like I can love him like that, you know, because of what was brought to me. And it was a revelation, and I'm not used to getting revelations like that. And it was really awesome. And I knew it wasn't me because I wasn't thinking about that. And because it was almost like it was stated to me, but in my voice, but kind of as a prompt. And I really do feel like it was from God.
Most people, and this is surprising to me, but most people don't really know that they should actually hear from God. They think that it's a one-way conversation that we have to initiate, and we talk to him, and he hears, but we don't hear anything back from him. But that's not correct. There are multiple places in the Bible that it talks about that, and we're going to talk more about that next week and the week after, okay, hearing from God. But there's also another major misconception, and that is, people think that love is an emotion. I have to feel a certain way or I don't have this love. Love is not an emotion. Love is a direction of the will. It is a choice. It is a decision. It is a decision to do what's right for that other person. The emotion will follow. But if all you have is emotion, and you, just be real honest, if you marry somebody because of what they can do for you, over the period of years, what they can do for you and what you can do for them will change. And that will go bye-bye. So if you're building it on an emotion, it won't last. But if it's a choice, I choose to do what is right and to have compassion for this other person in my life. It's a direction of the will. That's what it talks about in agape and agapo. One is compassion and the other one is doing right for the other person. Not necessarily what they want, but doing what is right. That's love. It's not doing what they want because that's just going to enable people to do some bad things sometimes. But it's a choice. It's a decision. And I wanted to take a closer look at verse 10 in the Revelation because there's some real power words there. And these are all inherent in Christ. Okay? And we're going to be talking about who Christ is in us, but these things are inherent in him. It says here, now the salvation, which means deliverance and preservation, but it includes all of God's blessings. Now, that's pretty much everything. The next power word is power. It is the ability or the capability to do something, and it's inherent in Christ. There's nothing that he cannot do. And that word there is dynamis, and that is the same word that they used the power that raised Christ from the dead. That is some serious power. The next is the kingdom. And the kingdom of our God. And that is the royal domain. And it's spiritually, it is within us. Can somebody please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? When you get there, raise your hand. Chapter 6, Start in verse 17 and read through verse 20. This tells you where Christ lives. Yeah, please. Six. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 through 20.
But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
He lives inside of us. It is not some far-off cosmic relationship where we have to try to get a hold of him so that he can hear us. He is inside. He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to know what it is that he wants to do in and through us and for us. Okay? The next word is authority. And that is the capability or the right to do something. And I kind of like this where it says there is a lack of hindrance to do anything. He has the right and the might to do it. There is no hindrance from him doing anything. Okay, and this is all in this one verse. Okay? When Christ was raised from the dead, this all became available to us. Next, the word God. And when I looked that up, it was like a page and a half. So I couldn't really boil it all down. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you want to be referred to Thursday night? He said, same way I referred to myself with Moses. And the same way Jesus referred to himself. I am. He told Moses, when Moses asked him, what shall I tell them? Who sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. And when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they were asking him questions, he said, before Moses was, I am. That's who he is. He says, I exist in my own power. And I said, well, is there any other word or any other name that you would like to be referred to as? And he said, Mark, why don't you pick your favorite one? And you know what my favorite word for God is? Is my favorite name for God. It's El Shaddai. You know what that means? God Almighty. The God who is more than enough. That means there is nothing lacking. He can do it all, and there is no hindrance to him getting it done. So, that's God. The next one is Christ, and that is Jesus, and he is the anointed. And that word anointed is also used for us because when we become believers, we are also anointed. That same anointing, that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead falls on us. That anointing that happened when Jesus was baptized in the water. That same anointing falls on us. Okay? And then it says, but the accuser was thrown down, who accuses us before God day and night. And this one, it's one who brings his own complaint. There's no foundation of truth, no real truth about it. It's just this accusation that he wants to bring. Because he's aggravated, he's angry, he's furious with us. So he's bringing his own accusations. And he's bringing them day and night before God. And accusing us to God. Okay? Now let me tell you a little story about that. A few years ago, we started a company called Diamond Catering. And we went before the Lord, and I asked the Lord if this was what he wanted me to do as an occupation. And he gave me permission to do it. And we started out, and it was going good, and we got this beautiful account called Liebert Corporation. And that one account amounted to 50% of our business. But it also represented enough money every week that we could stay in business, pay the bills, including the salaries and Debbie's and my expenses. And I mean, it was awesome. And we were riding high, especially me. I was like, man, God, you are blessing us beyond measure. This is awesome. This is really what you want me to do. And then one day, I said, no one will ever be able to take Liebert away from us because we will out-service them and we give better product and we are much more valued to them. Guess what happened? The next day, I was called into the client's office through no fault of our own. One of the higher-ups at Liebert had a friend that had a catering company that needed a good piece of business because he wasn't doing well. So this guy decided to take our business from us and give it to him. Well, I tried to replace it. I couldn't. And that's when the accusations start. Not God accusing me, but me accusing him. I said, Lord, you called us out here to do this. And you know, you said when Jesus was crossing the Galilee, he said, let's pass safely over to the other side. He said, you didn't say, let's go halfway and sink. Well, we're out here in the middle and we're sinking. We're dying. And we ended up going bankrupt. And I was one angry man. Why? Because I felt that I had been betrayed. I felt that God had called us to do something. He gave us permission, but it wasn't necessarily his call. But he gave his permission. The problem was, I was taking my identity as the best salesman that I knew, because my father was dead, and he was the best salesman I ever saw. He could, man, he was good. And I patterned myself after him. So I took my identity from that. But I was, and it was 5 years, this whole episode. And I was so angry, and I met with other guys every Wednesday morning, and it's like they had to wear flak jackets and helmets because they never knew what kind of wrath was going to be coming out because of the emotion that I had built up. I was pouring out all this poison into my family, and it was destroying it. And one day, the Lord asked me, he said, do you want to keep this business going, or do you want to keep your family? Because you can't do both. You can only have one. Which one do you want? I said, well, that's not even a choice. I said, I'll take my family. So we closed the business down. Debbie and I went bankrupt. And we moved on. But I was still mad. And the accuser was constantly saying, well, you know, God didn't really love you. He deserted you. He left you alone. You lost all your financial, all your worldly wealth. You got nothing left. I would fight back as best I could. I said, none of that means anything. It's my family that I kept. That's the only thing that matters. But I was still fuming. And one Wednesday morning, after meeting with the guys, I was walking out of the church where we were meeting, and the Lord asked me a question. He said, Mark, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing fine. He goes, really? You're doing fine? I said, yeah, I'm doing fine. Then he followed that up with another question. He says, what's the matter, Mark? Don't you think I can handle it? I went, whoa. When he threw that gauntlet down, I said, yeah, okay, well, here it is. And I gave every accusation that there was, everything that I had said against him. I brought that up. And after I thought I was done, he said, are you finished? I said, yeah, I'm finished. I was exhausted. But I said, no, wait a minute. There's a couple of other things. And blah, all of it came out. All right? And then he said again, are you finished? And I said, yes, I am finished. And he goes, good. Because now it's my turn. Truly, I thought I was going to be vaporized. Really, I did. And I would have deserved it because of the accusations that I was throwing against him because I accused him falsely. So I just, man, I'm toast. I'm going straight to the pit of hell. You know what he said? He said, it's forgiven and forgotten. Let's move on. That's the God we serve. That's the God we have relationship with. He's not worried about the mistakes that we made or the false accusations. He knows it's coming. He knows it's coming. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And that works both ways. He'll accuse God before you. And that's a lie. Okay? But even when you're a believer, you can still get out of fellowship with him. That's what I'm warning you about. That's what can happen. If we don't stay focused on that, and we don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's the truth in all of this? Please reveal yourself to me. Like he did with Rebecca. She wasn't even thinking about it, but it had been a long time that she really wanted to know, and God knew the desire of her heart. So he came to her when she was quiet in spirit and revealed to her what it was. And that's how God speaks to us, through revelation. And what that means to reveal something is to pull back the curtain, like on a play. We talked about this on Sunday. Okay? So that we can see what's going on behind the curtain. What was previously hidden is now available to be seen and understood and enjoyed. And that's how he reveals himself. That's how he speaks with us. He'll speak to us through the Bible. He'll speak to us through his creation. He'll speak to us. He speaks a lot to me through my wife. She doesn't know when she's doing it. But I do. I tell her, I said, honey, that was straight from the Lord. She goes, really? I said, yes. Because it spoke directly to my spirit about something that I desperately needed to know or something I desperately needed to hear. Because there's a lot of times there's some things I need to hear because I'm like off into Never Never Land. Okay? But he will speak to us, and we should expect to hear from him. Okay? But we talked about last week what happens when we get reconnected. And who can go? Who knows where Ezekiel is? Does anybody know where Ezekiel is? I want you to go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel, there you go. Zeke! Ezekiel 36:26-28. Who's got that? Gloria, you want to read that for us?
I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God.
That's what the new relationship looks like. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week that happened in the garden? Where we got disconnected? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the inherent ability that we were created with was gone because Adam took his leading from somewhere other than from God. And that was his big sin. He listened to someone else. So the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from him, and now he only had himself to draw upon as opposed to the knowledge of God. So that really, if all we have is ourself and our own experiences and our own knowledge in this world, we are in deep trouble. Okay? But that's what the new birth looks like. All right? And we're running short on time, so I'm going to skip right to the end. And we're going to do something here tonight. We don't take an offering here at Home Fellowship, and we're not going to take an offering here tonight. We're going to do a reverse offering. I have here a bean pot, which we will use extensively next week. But I want you to reach in there and pull out one piece of paper. Okay? And as soon as you get it, I want you to get the Bible verse, the one that says ID. Okay? ID. I want you to go to... Or no, that's it. ID. And we're gonna read these. Because this is who we are. We read about some wonderful things that are inherent in Christ, but these belong to us. All right? And I want you to write these down because I need these back for next week too. Okay? There's two scriptures on each page or on each sheet. Yeah, the one that says ID is the one we want to read. Pick a good one. They're all good, but some are more appropriate for each individual.
We know the good one.
I do need these back, guys.
Oh.
Ha! Got one left.
Can you decipher for me?
Huh?
I don't think.
Out. Okay. Not yet.
Get them later.
One.
Okay, thank you.
One, 21 and 22. Now, why is our identity in Christ important? Does anybody have an idea why it's important that we take our identity from Him? What? It speaks the truth about who we are. Okay? The enemy says, you're a sinner because you sin. God's truth says, you're a saint, one declared righteous by God, but occasionally we sin. It's a perspective. Satan says, your identity comes from what you have done, how bad you have been, all those nasty things. And the Lord says, your identity comes from what God has done for you. Okay, there is a huge difference. The enemy says, your identity comes from what people say about you. Okay, anybody seen Facebook lately? All the nasty garbage that is on there, or the horrible things that are said about other people, that's where society wants us to take our identity. God says your identity comes from what God says about you. Now, if that's the truth, do you think it's important that we read the Bible? And if you do, why do you think that? Why do you think it's important?
Because basically your instruction manual before you leave Earth.
It is. It's an instruction manual for life. But if we're going to know our identity, and our identity comes from God, how are we going to find out what that true identity is?
From God.
From God. Okay? And if we're going to find it from God, where are we going to find it?
In His Word.
In His Word. This thing here. Okay? Satan says your behavior tells you what to believe about yourself. And God says your belief about yourself determines your behavior. It's not the behavior that we have or the behavior that we had or what we did. It's what the Word of God says about us, and we can believe that because it's bedrock truth. And that is where we take our identity. Okay, who's got John 1:12? Okay?
I got it.
What does it say?
I was in the other one.
Oh, okay.
That's what I did. I was in both of
them. That's cool. John 1:12 says what?
It says here, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
So, when we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, what's our position with Him now?
Children of God.
Children of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys are parents here? If it's within your power to do something for your child, would you do it?
Of course.
No question.
Yes.
Well, sometimes, you know.
They deserve it.
Yeah. Of course we would.
Sure. If it's good for them.
If it's good for them.
Yeah.
And who makes that decision? Not the child.
The parent.
But the parent. And sometimes we want stuff that God won't give to us. Why? Because it's not good for us.
It's not best for us sometimes.
Yeah, it's bad for us. So now we are children of God. Who has John 15, 15, and 16? That, where?
I don't think.
15, 16.
Okay. What does it say?
Yeah,
that's idea. Look it up. It's important.
Mine only said John 15, 16.
Okay, well, it's 15 and 16 because 16 is the important part. Do you have it?
I have.
Go ahead.
I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
Okay. But he has chosen us as his friends. That's our true identity. If we do what he says for us to do, we are his friends. Who has 1 Corinthians 6:17? Sigh. What does it say?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation.
We are
therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Mm-hmm. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God
in Christ. Okay? We are accepted. It's not like we're outsiders. It's not like we have to try to do anything to earn to be accepted into the family. Oh, I made a mistake. I'm kicked out. No. We are accepted because we are in Christ. Also, we are secure. Who has Romans 8, 1 and 2?
I'd be back here.
Go ahead.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death.
We are free from condemnation. Now, in that it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That word now is a pretty powerful word because now is the only thing we have. The past is gone. The future has not come. This second that we are taking a breath, this now is the only thing we have. And the next breath we take will also be now. It's in the future, but now it's now. So every breath we take, every second of every day, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. That never stops. Okay, who has Romans 8:35-39. Oh, this is powerful stuff. Who has it? Over here? Okay. This is really important. Give her a break. Listen very carefully, please.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Is there anything that wasn't covered by that?
No.
There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Now there is no condemnation, and now there is no separation. We are eternally secure. If anyone has ever told you that you can lose your salvation once you have received it, they are lying. If you need more proof, please come and see me. There are many other scriptures which we can go over that will tell us that. Okay? Who has Hebrews 4:16? We are secure in our relationship. Hebrews 4:16? Anybody? Bueller?
Hebrews 4:6 here.
Okay. How about 1 John 5:18? Okay. Go ahead.
We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him.
In Christ, we don't sin. But if we do, we make a mistake, we say, hey, I made a mistake, Lord, and he is faithful to forgive us. So that sin that we, the mistake that we make, will not separate us from him. Okay? How about Matthew 5, 13 and 14? Okay.
You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Salt does two things. One, it adds flavor. Okay. The other thing it does is create thirst. Okay? And it says in the Bible that rivers of living water will flow from you. And where's somebody that's thirsty going to get something to drink? How about from those rivers of living water that are flowing through us? So if we're the salt of the earth, we add flavor and create thirst. So that's a pretty important position. So if the enemy comes and accuses you of being insignificant, say, hey, baby, I'm salt. So get behind me, Satan, because I'm salt. There's flavor created, and people are being thirsty, and they're going to get a drink of water, of eternal water. Okay? I have a whole list of what these are. All right? This is the only one of these I have. But I can get you a list of, and this comes from the Freedom in Christ Ministries from Neil Anderson. But it lets you know what your true identity is. It tells you that you are valuable, that you are secure, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That you can that you are overwhelmingly a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So when the enemy comes at you with some accusation, dig into this word and find out what your true identity is. And write that on the bottom of your shoe and start walking your faith. because that's how you're going to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If we do not have proper identity, we cannot bear the fruit that Christ wants us to bear. Does that make sense? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your truth about who we really are has come through tonight. Lord, I would ask that you reveal your truth to all my brothers and sisters here, so that if there's a question, they would expect to hear from you. Lord, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for being faithful, for loving us even when we're unlovable. I thank you for the guidance and the direction that you give us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.